Hi, this is Joe Feeks, editor of Poultry Health Today, and with me is Ryan Snyder. He is a grad student in the pathobiology department at the University of Guelph. Ryan, thanks for joining us. Coccidiosis is always the biggest concern of poultry producers. One estimate that was published a few years ago said that worldwide probably cost producers more than $3 billion a year. Now, you've been looking at the metagenomics and high-throughput DNA sequencing to evaluate coccidiosis control programs. Those are big words. Before we even get into the results, tell us exactly what, when we're talking about metagenomics, what specifically are they?
So we're going to be using high-throughput DNA sequencing. So that's going to take a segment of DNA that's not too long. It's about 800 base pairs. And then we're going to run that through a program, and it'll give us thousands of reads per sample. And so that'll allow us to identify the species, because there's several different species that cause coccidiosis. And so we can now, with this technology, we can say there's this proportion of this species, this proportion of this species. So it's using molecular techniques rather than the morphologic techniques that we normally use, or the diagnostics, such as the gross lesions, to identify the species.
And why is that so important? Because generally in broilers, if you have coccidiosis, you know, there are four or five major ones, and usually all of them are at work some point, right?
Yes, but we're not quite sure about who's cycling at what time, right? So maybe the more common species come up and they cycle earlier on, and it's the less common species that come up and give us problems later that we don't really realize based on just the performance and looking at the oocysts. Mm-hmm. So there are some species that have more pathogenic responses on the bird. We want to know which those species are and who's giving the problems, right? So the one species is Imeria maxima, and that's the one that leads to necrotic enteritis. So if we can tell that that one's in good shape, we will reduce the risk of necrotic enteritis, but the Imeria acervilina will take off a few hit points, and Imeria tenella will cause mortality. So knowing which species are there and as they're cycling, it'll be important for us to understand.
Now, specifically, you use this technology not just to figure out what parasites are out there, but to really fine-tune control programs.
That's right, yes.
Tell us about that.
So what we hope we can do is use this, the answers that we get from this, and say, okay, you've got good cycling with these species, but maybe we need to increase the vaccine dosage on this species, or maybe this drug is only working on this species but not the others. And so as there's different levels of resistance to each of the species, maybe we need to fine-tune our medication programs, or we need to fine-tune our vaccines as the cycling results come back through.
So what kind of results did you see in your study? What did you learn?
So far, we're still waiting to get back the DNA sequencing results, but I looked at 40 different farms, and some of those farms had multiple flocks. About half of the flocks were on the vaccine, the other half were on an anticoccidial. We saw a very consistent coccidiosis control in the vaccine group. The oocysts per gram, we took feces on a weekly basis from 7, 14, 21, 28, 35 days, and it gave a very nice curve. And so it shows the immunity is being developed by 21 days.
How is the vaccine administered?
It's administered in the hatchery, either through a coarse spray or a gel. So there's two products that are in Canada right now, and it's either one or the other.
Okay.
So, in contrast to the vaccinated group, the medicated group was extremely variable. Now, there was a lot of differences between the drug programs that were used. The farms were not selected based on feed mill or hatchery. This was a across the board look. And the results came back extremely variable, where we had some farms peaking multiple times higher than the vaccine group in total. So most of the vaccine groups would peak around day 21 with about 100,000, maybe 150,000 oocysts per gram. To put that in perspective with the medicated group, they were peaking in the 500,000, 700,000. There's few of the farms that were like that a lot, but then there's farms who had very good control. They had no oocysts shedding the entire time. So we could kind of see a trend happening where there's medicated farms that had very good control, moderate control, and very poor control.
Now, this is somewhat surprising, though, because, you know, I've always heard that when everything is perfect and they're properly administered and you get good distribution, vaccines are great, especially if you don't have too much pressure. But then a lot of people don't want to use them because they say they're so darn inconsistent. Now, your trial, it looks like the vaccine is the best choice to use.
Yes, and I guess we have to separate. It was very good coccidiosis control, mm-hmm. but those farms had no antibiotics in the feed. So they had other issues such mm-hmm. as higher mortality rates. So the cocci was under control, but it was the enteritis that still was not quite as pretty. So yeah, if you were to look at the performance data, the vaccine group does appear to have a reduced performance or a weaker mm-hmm. performance. Okay. But from the coccidiosis side of it, they had a better control.
So what do we learn about the medications? I'm assuming that you use both ionophores and also the
yes.
non-ionophore medications.
That's right. It was a mixed bag of farms that were using it. It basically goes to show that there's a lot of variability out there. I personally think it might have to do with the history of usage on each farm and what they were happened to be using at the flock that I was visiting. So this is one of the first times that it's being reported the level of resistance in Southern Ontario, which is where I was sampling. So the industry, at least locally there, and even in the US here, it's interesting to know at what level of resistance currently exists to which medications. Now, just the OSIS per gram counts doesn't tell us the level of resistance exactly. We would have to test that in a laboratory through live birds, but it does give us an indication saying there is a reduced level of control here with these products.
As part of the study, did you look at any bio shuttle programs where they're started on a vaccine and then you follow up maybe with one of the ionophores or non-ionophore products?
I hadn't, so I sampled last summer and in the winter. I actually just had a flock that I sampled a couple of weeks ago and they were on a bio shuttle program, they're the first one. I don't have those results quite done yet, so no, it was either vaccine or medication. There was no bio shuttle.
So in summary, the vaccinated groups showed really good coccidiosis control,
that's
but
right.
were hurting from enteritis, had higher mortality
that's
rates
right.
than the medicated groups.
Yes.
So what are the takeaway messages for producers?
Probably the take-home message I'd say is that we have to keep monitoring this disease. It's not going away yet. You know, we've had a good run with the last 50 years of all the drugs that we've had. So I think there's going to be a lot more work coming up over the next while to check the level of resistance in your barn, if it's worth to switch to a vaccine program or a bio shuttle program. And I think you know, over the next little while, we're going to be solving those answers. But it might be on an individual farm basis, because like I said, there are some farms who had very good control, and maybe they're okay to keep on track for the time being. But if we look 5 years, 10 years down the line, they might be in the same situation as the other farms, especially as things move around, right? And biosecurity practices, sometimes things leak through, right?
Sure.
But I'd say as the whole removal of antibiotics goes forward, we're gonna have to learn to live without the antibiotics, and controlling for coccidiosis will help control necrotic enteritis. So I think that's kind of an important part for poultry production as well.
And if producers want to do what you did and really get a better handle on, you know, what's in their barn and which products they should be piecing together in their program, what should they do? Can they send samples in? Does your group test for them? How does it work?
Yeah, so right now, yeah, locally, I started giving farmers kits and they can collect on their own now rather than me having to drive out. And I give them a preservative, they collect all five samples and then they ship them in to me. I take care of the analysis and then I give them back the results as well as where they fit in with everybody else. So it's easy to look at an OPG count and say, or OSIS per gram count and say, this looks good, this looks bad, but it's a lot harder if you don't have a comparison to everybody else. Because if you hear the number, and if I give a number to the farmer, you had 100,000 this time, they might say, oh, that's a huge number.
Yeah.
But really, when you compare it to 1 million, 2 million, which I have seen, it's not so bad.
Well, as I said at the top of our discussion, I know coccidiosis is always rated the number one disease in poultry. And I'm sure all producers, both here in North America and worldwide, appreciate your work. So
yeah.
Looking forward to seeing continuing results from it.
Yeah, I'm excited at what we're doing, so I think it'll go great.
We have been talking to Ryan Snyder. He is a graduate student in the pathobiology department at the University of Guelph. Ryan, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.